turns out I haven't shampooed my hair in like a week because I read that that helps. So this is what you guys get.
It helps what?
Welcome to Highly Questionable. That's Pablo Torre, who really needs to take a shower. That's Dominique Foxworth. I'm Mina Kimes.
I did shower. I just didn't shampoo. There is a difference.
But you said it helps. What does it help? How can it make your hair healthier? Like
certainly not his image, Dominique.
Are you believers in the Heat again?
Oh, congratulations to the Miami Heat. You are now the first topic on Highly Questionable. Back in the old days, we are just a place of utter propaganda, even though the things that you did last night were only, like, kind of impressive. And I will say kind of impressive because, yes, you did beat the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, my Philadelphia 76ers. Golf claps on that. But here's the reality of what the Heat are right now. They are a team that was utter basura for the vast majority of the season. And then in the month of May, they have the number one most efficient offense in the NBA. That is a stat that was in the Google Doc that I read this morning that was provided by the producers of this show. What was not mentioned is that the month of May is only 14 days long. So good try. But Joel Embiid was battling the flu. He was out the game before because of that. He was not well. This was a Sixers team that is not the Sixers team you will see in the playoffs. But hey, it's May 14th. Congratulations on being a sixth seed.
So much in that. So much hate. I wasn't coming on here ready to say, like, you know what? The Heat are going to win the title. But you have skewed it so far to the other side that I feel like this, particularly this Miami-based show, or at least the origins being a Miami show, we need to be more honest about what they are. Like the Butler situation that they had, he's great. He's been awesome all year. He hasn't been healthy all year. They also had the same issue with guys who were once great shooters, all of a sudden forgot how to shoot. Like my belief is that those guys will return to form, and Jimmy Butler being healthy and active is a good team. So they're not going to win the championship, but I don't think what happened yesterday is a fluke. It should be known, though, that the Sixers had nothing to play for necessarily, but they still got smashed in a game that they should never get smashed in when they're headed into the playoffs. I think if Embiid is playing at his best, and obviously if Ben Simmons can give you his best, I do believe the Sixers are better than the Heat. But I'm not going to say that there is nothing gained from yesterday, and yesterday didn't tell us anything about how good the Heat can be.
Yeah, the Heat are the steal yourself, because a very, very, very cliched expression is coming your way. They're the team nobody wants to play. Oh, especially the Philadelphia 76ers, who beat them twice during the regular season before last night, but that was without Bam. And we saw the effect that Bam has on the Sixers team, particularly on Joel Embiid, who on the 28 possessions when he was guarded by Bam, put up a whopping 2 points. Is this your MVP? Pablo, is this your MVP? Fortunately for Philadelphia, they don't have to play the Heat in the first round because they do have that one seed. But I don't think anyone wants to play the Heat, including Milwaukee, who's their most likely opponent.
Especially in a series, because like we talk about, I didn't bring up the in-season record as much because we all understand how different the playoffs are from the regular season. But I think the Heat are one of those teams that benefit from being in a series, that benefit from the coaching advantage that they can get from Eric Spoelstra, that benefit from having a smart and flexible team that has a lot of experience. Even the young players, like Tyler Herro is one of those shooters who's starting to remember how to shoot. Like he has real big game experience from last year. So I think that this team is nothing to sneeze at, but both of them at their height, like I said before, I still lean Sixers, even though I don't want to see Pablo happy.
Yeah, can we just hold on with all the cliches, though? Because I got big game experience. I saw a shooter that's nothing to sneeze at. We got a team that no one wants to face in the playoffs. All of this stuff about Heat culture, all the Miami Heat is really is a bunch of cliches wrapped into a team that is pretty good.
Say it to Udonis.
Very good.
I bet you won't do that.
Well, let's watch what Udonis Haslam did against the 76ers.
Whoa.
He got in the game.
This is the only minutes of the season. Yeah, this is the only minutes of the season. This is his season debut.
How perfect that it was Dwight.
And I will do all sorts of aerobic exercises to defend the 76ers. I'm not defending Dwight Howard on that. I was rooting for Udonis Haslam. I got to admit.
Are you here for Tom Brady's dad hyping up the Bucks-Pats game?
So look, it is hard having the same name as your dad. In my case, you get confused for a retired Filipino urologist. In Tom Brady's case, someone could generate a headline that says, Tom Brady talks tremendous amounts of trash about the Patriots, and it's technically true.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily.
Handily?
So I know that Tom Brady Sr. does not definitionally speak for Tom Brady Jr., but obviously we all take it that way. I just hope that parents across the sports universe understand that we're going to keep doing that, though. Like, in some cases, they're going to say stuff that is wildly not representative of their kids, but we're still going to get on television and say, check out what this dad said about his son, which is, by the way, how the son actually feels.
I am not here for it because when I see the headline, I get excited because I think it's Tom Brady, the quarterback, saying something spicy. And then I find out it's just his dad doing dad stuff. This is a very dad thing to do to boost your own kid. As far as what he said about the Bucs beating the Pats handily, I actually don't agree. I think the Bucs are the best team in the NFC, but I also think the Patriots, who were extremely unlucky last year, one of the four unluckiest teams in the NFL with injuries and COVID, while Tampa Bay was the luckiest, shocker, I think they're going to be a lot better this season. They get Dante Hightower and Kyle Van Noy back. They signed Matthew Judon. They drafted Christian Barmore and Ronnie Perkins. And you just know that Bill Belichick is spending his entire offseason focused on that game, focused on finding out a way to make Tom Brady's life hell. That is all he is doing, aside from maybe, you know, watching World War II documentaries.
Okay, so at the end, I feel like I just have to clean up all the things that you guys messed up. So one, it's not a dad thing to do. Two, Mina, you're not even going to mention that they drafted a quarterback. And Pablo, all the way back to the top, you've been mistaken for your dad. So I understand if someone mistakes Tom Brady Sr., for Tom Brady, they ask him to throw a football maybe. But you've been mistaken for a urologist? Like, what happens? Do people ask for your diagnosis?
I've only done one vasectomy.
I gotta say, though, while Dominique, I'm not gonna question you on what is or is not a dad thing. You do, unfortunately, have authority on this particular matter. I am envious. Like, it must be nice to have your parents out in the public sphere supporting you unequivocally and boosting you, unlike my mom, who tweets stuff like this.
Yep. I was going to bring this up, actually. I'm glad that it was already ready, because this is not so much even trash talk against you, Mina. It's just clearly, like, someone's very genuine feelings about me. Like, it's not so... You're great. But
you
I am
are
obviously
my
better.
Favorite person. Don't tell M asterisk asterisk A. That is what she tweeted.
I mean, it hurts, but it's true, I guess. So
don't tell MoMA, because that tweet belongs in a museum of art.
Well done. What a jump pass. I like it.
Up next on HQ.
LeBron yelled at me in a Players Association meeting for the executive committee many years ago when I was on one of the executives at the NBA. We were in a meeting and he yelled at me.
Do you question if the Blazers got hosed?
So the Blazers always feel like they are getting hosed by, like, the universe. But let's start with Devin Booker, who's the assailant in question, because he did this a game before that. This is Suns Bucks. That is a tie game, overtime, and a foul. A shooting foul.
He got his hand on his arm.
People were mad about this. They did not necessarily agree with Mina, but this is what happened then to the Blazers not long after. Down one this time. Falling away. And again, like, you can find the evidence that suggests, okay, there's
here, look, boom, got his hand on the elbow.
But if you are the Blazers, and Damian Lillard, larger context here, just had a sort of column released on his behalf talking about how he needs help as a franchise. Like, you can't just keep leaving that guy alone as the lone superstar on this team that wants to win titles but clearly cannot. That's the pretext. And now this, when they are battling the TV darling Lakers to avoid a play-in, I get why they feel like someone is taking one of those giant power wash hoses and spraying it into their faces. I do understand that.
Someone, and someone's name is LeBron James. Like, he doesn't want to be in his playing game, and he clearly called that foul right there because he's the all-powerful. Why are you laughing? The man is powerful. He is.
What do you know about LeBron's power, Dominique? Oh, come on.
I mean, LeBron yelled at me in a Players Association meeting for the executive committee many years ago when I was on one of the executives at the NBA. We were in a meeting, and he yelled at me. This is what happened, and I realized that this is LeBron's league.
Why did he yell at you?
So, like, after business school, I was the chief operating officer at the MBPA, and one of the players put a proposal on the table about funding some long-term health care for retired players. And me, being the guy that I am, is like, yeah, I think that we should do that, but I also think that the NBA should be on the hook for part of this. And LeBron stepped up and was like, no, that. We're going to fund this program. It's happening. And I was like, maybe we should do a little analysis. That is what LeBron told me. And then I leaned back. I just leaned back. Like, yeah, clearly he's right.
Show us exactly how you lean back in that.
Yeah, because I have Dominique sort of cowering, honestly. I have him like, okay, LeBron.
No, that's called projection. That's what that's called. What you would do.
See, but when you tell the story, you're like very cool, and you're like, okay, cool. But I don't think that's what happened.
Yeah, give
I
us the, like what, LeBron, what degree on the protractor of lean back are we talking here?
If I'm talking at, I guess, yes, I'm leaning, James. I'm at like a 60
King
leaning.
Sean. King Sir James.
He says, that once I go to 90, he comes with the second one, I go to 110. I'm like, oh, cool, you got it. How often do you come across someone who is both very powerful and also physically intimidating? Like, most people who are powerful, like you think of US presidents or world leaders. I mean, I square up and whoop just about any world leader. Then you think about someone who's really big and strong. I feel like I could outthink most people who are 6'8", 260. But LeBron is both those things. He is a physical specimen and also very powerful and influential. So I gave him a 110 lean back, just a 110 lean back.
Do you question if this is against baseball's unwritten rules?
So Major League Baseball is dealing with an unprecedented assault, it feels like, on the institution of, like, not cheating at baseball, because you have, obviously, sign stealing, people banging on trash cans to communicate, to all get an edge on the opposing team. And Jesus Aguilar has been excellent this season and has been very conspicuous in how he's trying to do exactly that. So this is a game a couple weeks ago.
Yoink. Nice.
And that is a nice yoink.
Oh, he's
right
just
out of the back pocket.
Well done.
And then
pocket action.
He got even more subtle first yesterday. Of course,
that's phenomenal.
Oh, I love this guy.
Yes, yeah, my favorite part is the reaction that he has of just the like, yeah, I'm in favor of this. I don't like the Astros. I want the Astros to get punished in every way possible, vigilante and otherwise. But Jesus Aguilar, keep on stepping that line as much as you can.
All right. I somehow am team Aguilar in this, maybe because I just found his like so charming, despite the fact that like in my lifetime, I am far more likely to be the person who was cheated off of than the person who did the cheating and got away with it in a like cute fashion. And yet I don't care. I mean, what about you guys? Are you the cheaters or the cheated on?
There's a line though, Dominique. I feel like in video games, for instance, like screen cheating, like when you're playing like a multiplayer game, you're playing GoldenEye and you're like, you're just watching the other person.
So
like there needs to be a code of honor at some point. There has to be a line at some point.
No one plays multiplayer games in the same room anymore, Pablo. Like you can't screen cheat anymore.
Right.
Like there's some sort of hacks that are out there. Like you can wall hack. You can do aim bots. There are lots of other cheats out there, but none of it's screen watching anymore. GoldenEye?
Can I just jump in here and say, like, you, Pablo, did the verbal equivalent of bringing up video games and then turning away from me to talk to Dominique as though I could not understand the language. And then, Dominique, you responded with Pablo, looking at Pablo as though I don't know about GoldenEye. I used to have to sit and watch my brother play it for 2 hours. And every 2 hours he played, I got to play 10 minutes. That was the ratio of being the younger sister. I know about GoldenEye.
Did you not know it was a multiplayer game? You didn't realize that you guys could go together?
Tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, Rockets and Mavericks.
So the Mavs are like battling the Lakers for all that playing around avoidance stuff, but that's not what we want to talk about with you here today. We want to talk about the fact that we've been told that there is some beef between Luka Doncic and his actual center, Kristaps Porzingis. And so this might sound a little dicey.
Oh, wow. They had sweatshirts made.
Yo, like, I feel like everybody wants to be Boban's friend, including, by the way, like, sure. Tobias Harris. Bobby and Toby was a thing at one point.
Yeah.
So, Dominique, are you intrigued?
Not by the game. Like, I don't care much about that. But the friction between Luka and Kristaps is kind of fun. And the sweatshirt, like, feels like a bit of an escalation. Like, obviously, Boban's not the guy they want to build around. A healthy Kristaps Porzingis is a guy that they thought they were going to build around. But you don't put that sweatshirt on and not consider the context in which you're wearing it. That's how you escalate a beef. Well done, Luka.
Bina, are you intrigued?
Similarly to Dominique, not by this game. There's so many great NBA games this weekend. I don't know why we chose that one to obviously use this footage of Luka and Boban. I am intrigued by this notion of using apparel to not only escalate beefs, but signify alliances. Like, Dominique, how would you feel if Pablo and I showed up wearing BFF Pablo Mina hoodies on Highly Questionable and you were just in the third box?
Isn't that what's happening today? Like, you guys clearly
have
side text.
Like this.
Hey, we're going to wear our desert chic look. And we're going with our Arizona Nights look. And we're going to leave Dominic looking dumb in his bright, undefeated hoodie.
Nina, I mean this as a compliment. You look like a senator in Star Wars.
Anytime you have to preface it with "I mean it as a compliment," it is not a compliment.
Pablo, I also mean this as a compliment. You look like the last page of a Sundance catalog.
Mina, you look like if Angela Merkel was on TikTok.
It's decent. It's decent.
That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even make sense.
Google image Angela Merkel.
All right, Pablo, you look like my great aunt who moved to New Mexico to make jewelry and no one ever heard from again.
Tonight on NBA TV, the opening night of the WNBA.
It is the WNBA's 25th season, so shout out to all the haters who thought it would not survive one. Let's watch a hype video to celebrate.
A three is good at the buzzer. Shea Petty. And again, the win. Championship number 4 for the Seattle Storm.
Let's go.
So I was talking to Rebecca Lobo, name drop, on ESPN Daily this week. She pointed out that there was not a players union when the WNBA first launched. Their first request a year later when it was formed was to ask for like year-round health insurance. This league has come such a long way, and they did actual union work, unlike Dominique, who apparently just argued with LeBron James a lot. So Dominique, are you intrigued?
I didn't argue. He said something and I moved out the way. Yes, I'm intrigued. I saw yesterday that if you Google WNBA, the whole page lit up with WNBA festivities. But I do think that the NBA has shown a commitment to women's sports, which is commendable. And I think it's going to pay off at some point. It's not a big financial juggernaut just yet. But the way that the college game has picked up, we're getting something from women's sports that we aren't getting from men's sports as much as we're getting to know these stars in anticipation of them entering the league. I think that is something that is hugely valuable. So I look forward to some of the people that we saw, including Ari. I think she comes to mind. Some of the people we saw in the tournament, then moving on to the WNBA. Those are games and players that I want to see.
Mina, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued, and much like I bandwagoned the Nets, I am fully on board the Seattle Storm train. And I actually feel like, by the way, that's not bandwagoning because I'm from Seattle, and I know that they just won. I know that they are awesome. They always but win. I feel like I have a birthright, frankly, to be a Storm fan. So
birthright? You were born in Omaha. What are you talking about, birthright?
Weren't you born in Gilbert, Arizona?
You and just because you're dressed like you live in Arizona doesn't mean you can say that.
That was highly questionable. It's Friday afternoon. Congratulations on making it to the end with us. That's Dominique Foxworth. He is 38 years old. And that's Mina Kimes, who is older than me. So check him out wherever they may be.
2 weeks older than you, Pablo.
That's right. Older than me. You said it.